The advice and recommendations in this program are for general educational purposes and not a diagnosis. You should consult a physician or health professional directly before beginning or changing any course of health treatment. You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.
This week, the Ontario Premier, Dalton McGuinty, announced that his government has plans to create nurse practitioner-led clinics and to allow pharmacists to prescribe certain medications. Should pharmacists prescribe medication without a doctor's prescription? And should nurse practitioners lead Ontario's health teams? That is a question posed by the chair of the section on general and family practice at the Ontario Medical Association, Dr. David Briggio. And before we start the conversation, I should say, just for revealing any conflicts and such, that both David and I, Dr. Briggio and I, the line seems to have dropped off, Dr. Briggio and I are members of the Coalition of Family Physicians. We're both on the board of the coalition, although I am an inactive member of the coalition. But nevertheless, I think it's important for you to know that that I know David quite well. And so there are no surprises, because invariably, as a result of this this interview, you may come back and say, you didn't tell us that you're on the board, and therefore this interview was biased. So I thought it was very important to be able to reveal this to you, so that way at least you know that that indeed this is the situation. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Dr. David Briggio, Windsor Family Physician and Chair of the Section on General and Family Practice at the Ontario Medical Association. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, Barry. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. And I wanted to ask you, first off, what do you think is the reasoning behind the impetus for this change in health policy?
I think the government has realized that there are a lot of challenges with trying to provide health care. And we've been faced with shortages, especially in some of the rural areas where patients are having a difficult time accessing health services. And, of course, we have had a chronic doctor shortage for a number of years for a variety of reasons. And they have increased the enrollment to med schools in recent years, but, of course, those kind of changes take years to come through the system. So what they're looking at now is finding easier ways of access for various types of care. And our concern is that some of these methods that they're contemplating have implications for patient care.
And what kind of implications are of concern to you?
Well, I think we had mentioned a couple of things specifically in the campaign that we had raised this past week. One of the things has to do with nurse practitioner care. Now, we know that nurse practitioners are highly trained in a number of areas, and we feel that they have a very valuable role in the healthcare system. Our major concern is that the government is looking at moving forward with setting up independent freestanding nurse practitioner clinics. And if we look back through the years since the nurse practitioner profession has evolved, it has really worked in a relationship where there's a collaboration with a physician. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of moving in the direction where they're looking at having these clinics set up where they're working on their own, and we have a significant discomfort with that.
Are there certain assumptions being made with respect to this type of access to these particular services or wait times, diagnosis, such as that? Well, I think is David still there, or have we?
No, I'm still there.
There we are. Okay, good. So, David, is there, when the government is presenting this, are there certain assumptions being made with regards to the wait times or diagnosis and treatments, that somehow it's equal?
I'm not really sure what you're getting at there, Barry. Can you rephrase that question?
Yeah, I guess, can you compare sort of what the training requirements are for each of the professions, sort of pharmacists, nurse practitioners, family doctors? What is it behind them that gives them the ability, each one, to practice at their level of expertise?
Okay. Well, in terms of training, well, for a typical family physician, they would be looking at 3 to 4 years of undergraduate university work, and that could be in any discipline, not necessarily a science-based. Then they go into medical school, which is 4 years, and after that 4-year training is over, then they go into what's called a residency program, and that is anywhere from 2 years to 5 or 6 years.
Whoop.
nurses, what we know as nurse practitioners,
mm-hmm.
They would typically do an RN degree or BN degree, which gives them a Bachelor of Nursing as a four-year program. And then once they've been out working in the community or in practical work, they can go back and take a one-year program in assessment and diagnosis mm-hmm. and therapeutics. With regard to pharmacy, most pharmacy programs require 1 year of undergraduate in sciences, and then they will admit a person into the pharmacy program, and that program is 4 years, and the 4 years includes their clinical or what we call internship time.
So when we have Dennis Darby, who's Chief Executive Officer of the Ontario Pharmacists Association, saying this week, quote, like doctors, pharmacists are highly trained and regulated healthcare professionals with clear standards of practice designed to protect patient safety. And while physicians are the experts in diagnosis, pharmacists are experts in medication and medication management. And this quote was given in response to why pharmacists should be allowed to prescribe. My question is, what is it that they will be allowed to prescribe? And in terms of practice, is not prescribing the follow-up after doing a workup, clinical evaluation, and assessment?
In general, it is, yes. And, you know, as far as the bill that is before the committee now, there have been a number of recommendations made from the Ontario Pharmacy Association, and most of those we really don't have any problem with. We're trying to, part of what this bill is about is modernizing a lot of the roles for healthcare providers, and most of the things that are in there we don't have a problem with.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing that we have the concern with at this point is being able to start new prescriptions without a diagnosis. Right now, it looks as if the legislation goes through as planned, pharmacy would be able to initiate a prescription for smoking cessation products. That's the beginning. Now, where that will lead down the road, we can't say for certain, but it sets a precedent that now pharmacy will be able to initiate a new prescription for a drug without having had a diagnosis from a physician, and it just presents some concerns.
Are there, to your knowledge, are there mechanisms in place that will allow or at least set up a system where if changes are made to a patient's medications, that is, the pharmacist either prescribes, in this case, as you mentioned, a smoking cessation medication, or makes changes to or renew certain medications without the physician's knowledge, is there a way to communicate that to the physician? That's my first question about this. And the second is, do the pharmacists have to keep a chart from this point on to follow up patients if they are prescribing, given the fact that when you are prescribing, you are taking responsibility for the care of that patient? Are there the same guidelines in place for them to manage and keep up to date with that patient?
I think as far as the mechanisms, I think that's one of the areas that there's a major concern about now. We really don't have a good system for communicating back and forth. Currently, the most common manner of communicating is by fax or by phone, and for all of us, whether it be a physician's office or a pharmacy, it's difficult for us to get a hold of each other through the day when you're really mm-hmm. busy and you've got a lot of things backed up and going on. And it really comes down to the factor that we really don't have a good system for medical records at this point. We need to have an integrated electronic medical record system, which will make it much easier for healthcare professionals mm-hmm. to communicate amongst each other. And we really don't have that right now.
And some would say that, you know, with the OMA statement this week, that this is seen as a turf protection battle. And how would you respond to that criticism? Because that is coming up from people when they hear the policies expressed by the OMA.
It is in no way a turf protection battle. We have more work than we know what to do with. Most physicians are working full out. There are very few that are even able to take on new patients at this point in time. And our major concern is that we're heading down a pathway where there are more expedient ways to get things done.
David, the phone cut out just at the for the last couple of sentences. Could you repeat that?
We're concerned that with regard to turf protection,
mm-hmm.
we are not coming from that point of view at all. There's a lot of work to go around. We're all quite busy in our offices, and our major concern is patient safety. There may be things done through legislation that will be for convenience sake, but in the long run, safety is going to be a major concern here.
Now, is there any evidence with regards to patient safety? Has this been done in other jurisdictions, other countries where they've had a similar setup? And have there been studies to show what the outcomes have been?
None that are really good, no. This has been done to a limited degree in some other jurisdictions. What turns out happening in the case of pharmacy is that a large percentage of the pharmacists in some of the jurisdictions where these laws have been passed, they've been very hesitant to proceed with doing prescribing. Because they realize the pitfalls of it, you're adding an extra level of liability to your practice as a pharmacist if you take on those extra responsibilities. So a lot of them are quite hesitant about it. As far as studies, there's really nothing of any significance that has come out yet, one way or the other.
So what would be the solution? As you said, there is a shortage of family physicians for the residents of Ontario. The government is trying to improve access. Are the solutions through a foreign medical graduate program? I know that the latest information I have is that a lot of medical students, this year's medical students, at least at Ottawa, over 80% are now going to be applying to family medicine, which is certainly very heartening news compared to the 24% that existed 5 years ago. So there's that stream that may be coming online fairly shortly in about 2 or 3 years. But really, for today, what should the government be doing? Because it's, on the one hand, and we can be critical and say, well, we don't think this is the way to go. But what would you advise them in terms of the way to go to be able to improve access for the people in Ontario?
Well, we want to see a greater role for healthcare providers. And if you take, in the case of nurse practitioners, we have, for a number of years, asked government to be able to make better use of nurse practitioners in our practices. One of the concerns about the way they're going now with setting up independent clinics is this is forcing them to spend huge amounts of money in infrastructure, setting up new clinics with new equipment and so on and so forth. And there are many doctors in the province who would be very happy to take on a nurse practitioner in the office to work side by side with them. And that has a number of benefits to it, from anything from day-to-day, ongoing continuing medical education, or in the case of the nurse practitioner, they would be able to benefit from the oversight of the physician to help them with their day-to-day work, and also a huge savings in cost from not having to set up these separate clinics where they have to be built from scratch.
And what has the government's response been to this?
They haven't really said too much about it. They're saying that they want to try to get as much for their health care dollar as they can, which could be kind of a scary thing to think. And when you think about it, if they're trying to find the cheapest way possible to do something, and we may find out in the final analysis that it ends up being far more expensive to go the way they're looking at going. Beyond that, they really haven't said a lot about it.
Dr. David Riggio is a Windsor family physician and chair in the section on general and family practice at the Ontario Medical Association. And David, I'd like to thank you very much for providing the OMA's point of view with regards to this issue. And I'm sure there are going to be a lot of calls and comments on this issue. And I think ultimately it's a matter of just being able to provide care, good standard of practice care to the citizens of Ontario. And I hope you keep pushing forward for the changes that provide the best for people of Ontario.
Thank you, Barry.
All the best.
Okay.
You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.